kind of forgot what we were doing for a second.
Hey, every guy!
Again?
Yes.
Ugh.
Hey. Fight me.
I thought you were going to say fuck you.
No.
I was going to be like, maybe later.
Okay. Just need to get you real drunk first.
I'm already on my way to being real drunk.
Yeah. I'm Brittany.
I'm Justine.
I'm Scott.
Scott, wait a minute. Oh. Can we please address that Scott is eating milk with cookies?
Fucking delicious.
So
if don't like milk with cookies, I don't know what to do with you.
For some reason you hear a annoying crunch in the background, it's him.
Yeah.
We apologize in advance. He's real hungry.
You apparently. Won't.
you won't.
You probably will.
As there's milk dripping down his beard.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Oh my god. He's got like cookies stuck in his beard. Save it for later. So you guys are listening to episode 52.
Yeah.
Of It's About Damn Crime. And we are past our 1 year.
Yeah. Or it's our 1 year. If you heard our argument on Stranger Danger, episode 22. On Monday.
52 weeks is a year. And this is the 52nd episode.
We already had an argument about it. We're not going to get into it
again. We're not going to do it again.
No.
Okay. It's very upsetting for us.
There's a new segment coming up.
Yeah.
Like we said before, Scott is in charge of our segments now, guys. Yeah.
From now on, that's your homework during the week, Scotty.
To come up with new segments.
You guys put me on the spot on this one, so this shit is fucking makeshift.
Pretty sure we told you 2 weeks ago that you're responsible for... Can you go back and insert the clip where we assigned him?
I'll try to find it. Is this
episode of Black Mirror?
Okay. Nothing new that we need to address, right?
No, nothing's going on with me. I'm getting pretty drunk right now. It's exciting. Yeah. I just take a halfsy shot of vodka.
Yeah.
Why would you do that before the podcast? You have to be coherent.
Why the fuck not?
What?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
What kind of ship are we running?
A sunken one.
A drunk one? Shiver me timbers!
I've been doing this podcast long enough that I can do it drunk now. No.
It's
fine. It'll be okay.
It's fine.
So,
are we ready to get started?
Yeah, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's all we got?
Yep. That's all she wrote. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so on the morning of June, June 1st, 1993, in Port Hueneme, California.
Yeah, I've been there.
I have a funny story about Port Hueneme. I dated a guy that lived there.
You already know it's bullshit?
And the first...
No, it's true.
No, that he was bullshit?
No, just the fact that you dated a guy.
No, I did. I did.
Well, can I tell him his nickname?
Not yet. Oh. We're going to tell him after the story.
Okay.
So we kind of had talked in the past and then things got weird because he made me meet his parents after only knowing him for one days.
One days.
Hey, ma'am. Got no time to waste.
No time to waste. He was in the
military, Navy? Right?
I think he was in the Navy. Yeah. So a couple years went by. I went to go see him again. And like the first time we hung out, took his shirt off. And he released all the back hair.
Can I say his nickname now?
Mm-hmm. All the back hair, you said?
Back hair.
We called him Sweater Weather.
I mean, why were we... If I had known we were going hair out, I wouldn't have shaved my legs. Like, give a girl a memo.
Acting like she shaves her legs as it is.
I shaved my leg. I was trying to make a good impression, you know, after I know you a while.
No.
It's a different story.
He wanted to come out, hair out, man.
Hair out.
Knowing Justine, it was one leg shaved. Because she forgot. That's
true. Like one quarter of a leg, because I got lazy. That happens a lot. I shave like one quarter of a leg and then I'm like, fuck the rest of this.
They're only going to see the front.
I'll catch you later.
They're only going to see the front.
They're only going to see this little bit by my ankle. Yeah, so that was a fun Justine dating story.
Okay, so start all over, Steenie.
Okay. So we're going back to June 1st, 1993 in Port Hueneme. Where Sweater Weather also lived. Not in 93. Mm-hmm. In 2007. Okay. Wow. Oh my god,
a cougar. Beautiful.
Okay.
Brittany will probably cut it.
She only cuts the things that she says she's not going to cut. Wait. That what? You say that you are going to... What? You say you're not going to cut. She'll just be like, I'm going to cut this and then doesn't cut it.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, we're drinking vodka tonics.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering what you had in there. It's just clear. It looks like just vodka.
It's all vodka.
It's just Visine.
Did the tonic
get, oh my god, that would make you shit.
I watched Dumb and Dumber.
I watch Wedding Crashers.
What?
I don't know. Is it Dumb and Dumber he puts Visine in it? Oh no, he just puts laxative, huh?
Oh my god, we're going so off topic.
Okay, bring it back in. Okay, so on the morning of June 1st, 1993, in Port Hueneme, California, 33-year-old Anthony Rodriguez and his brother Hector showed up to the house of Anthony's estranged wife, 32-year-old Norma Rodriguez. Norma. And he was there to pick up his two sons, 4-year-old Austin and 11-year-old Andrew.
There's a lot of A's going on.
I think that was on purpose. So the, you know, Norma and Anthony's routine was that Anthony would take them to school. She probably picked up. That was just what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Norma and Anthony were separated because Anthony was an alcoholic and would beat on Norma and the kids when he was drunk.
That's sad.
Just a little backstory.
Mm-hmm. No bueno.
Yeah. So when Anthony and Hector showed up at the front door, it was locked and no one was answering. They're my heroes for this.
Oh, yeah.
They did the thing that I wish every other person did in this world when they showed up to a loved one's house and something was off. And no one was answering. That door was locked. They did not call the police.
No, they didn't wait for the police.
Not wait for someone to show up with the fucking key.
Nope.
They just kicked that shit down.
Hell yeah. So after the two had proven how manly they were, they entered the house. And there they discovered the body of Norma Rodriguez, dead on her living room floor. She had been strangled, and the top portion of her head, from her eyes up, had been covered in duct tape.
I think her head was wrapped.
Yeah, I think her head was all covered in duct tape.
Yeah, I think it just completely wrapped her whole entire
head. Yeah. Also, her keys were located near her body, so keep that in your...
memory bank.
Exactly. Keep that in your memory bank. It'll be important later. We promise. Remember.
Keep that. We got a quiz for you at the end of this one, Scott. So keep that in your memory bank.
Oh, we got a quiz?
My memory is terrible.
It's not a quiz, but we got an opinion.
Okay.
Right.
The kicker of it all, Norma had been dead for almost 2 days with 4-year-old Austin in the house. You see, on Sunday, May 30th, Anthony had stopped by the house to pick up 11-year-old Andrew to come spend the night with him and his grandpa. There was no school Monday because it was Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to have a slumber party.
Something more manly. What do men do?
They
don't have slumber parties.
They don't have slumber parties. They have just chill and watch movies.
We just don't call slumbers.
Play video games.
Sleepover. That's a sleepover. Sleepover. Okay.
They play video games. Whatever guys do. I don't know. And 4-year-old Austin, he decided to stay home with his mommy, Norma.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go. So, yeah. Later that night, Norma was murdered. So Andrew had come home late on Monday night. He was dropped off by a family friend.
Uh-huh.
And he was knocking at the door, knock, knock, knock. Nobody was answering. So he had to sneak in through a bedroom window
because
mm-hmm. He thought his mom was going to be pissed because he got home so late because
mm-hmm.
it was a school night.
Yeah, it's
school night. How old was he again?
11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it was with his family, but it's still, you know, when your parents are doing that divorce thing,
mm-hmm.
they get mad at you when you're not where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So when Andrew got home, his little brother, Austin, told him he thought their mom was sick because she had Band-Aids on her face. Which, of course, was duct tape. But to a 4-year-old mind, it looked like bandages.
Yeah.
Looked like Band-Aids.
He probably didn't know how to say duct tape. Yeah, she got duct tape on her head. You know?
I don't think he knew what duct tape was.
Yeah.
Andrew said, you know, I'm sure she's fine. You know, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the next morning, the boys' dad showed up and found Norma's body.
So police quickly realized their only witness was 4-year-old Austin. He, of course, had been home when Norma was killed, so maybe he had seen something. See something, say something.
Exactly. See something, say something.
So they sat him down and asked him if he had seen anyone. And he had. He told them that night he had seen.
Okay. Before we give away the person Austin had seen that night, we first have to go back in time and tell you a little bit about Norma and all the people in her life that probably had a motive to want her dead, right?
So at the end of this, we're going to ask you who you think did it.
Yeah, Scott.
So we're not going to tell you.
We're going to ask you. Okay. We're going to ask right. Scott who done it.
You know? There's a lot of suspects in this one. Norma's friend, Teresa Paz, said that Norma was sweet, smart, and a feisty Latina. Okay, we said that last part.
Yeah.
Teresa didn't, but whatever. You get the gist.
Yeah.
She was a good mom, and after separating from Anthony, was looking for new love with a better man who wouldn't mistreat her and her boys. She was young. She was only 32. Mm-hmm. And she wanted a man.
Side note, she married Anthony at a very young age.
Yeah.
Like 17.
Well, her kid
16
was
years old.
11, so she was probably... Oh, she married him young as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I yelled. Sorry, I also have the hiccups.
Yeah, she married Anthony really, really young.
Oh, dang. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't marry people young, okay? Don't mm-hmm. do it. Okay. So Norma thought she had found a great guy in this man named Daniel, who happened to be Andrew's little league coach. Daniel took a real interest in her kids and made her lady bits all warm and fuzzy.
Ooh.
So the two started dating.
And this did not make Mr. Anthony, who was her husband, you know, Norma's husband at the time, because the two, they were not divorced. They were just separated. And he did not like that Norma was bringing a man around his sons, which I get it, you know,
I understand it. About it.
Yeah. It's kind of like you don't want
somebody else's influence on your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. New York. And you're still technically married.
Yeah.
So, I get that. Also, all these people are Hispanic, so... Not all of them, I'm sorry. This family is Hispanic, so... I think there's a little bit of that property-ish type thing. So, should we not say that?
No, I think it's kind of in the culture.
Yeah.
A little bit. You have those machismos.
Yes. Where it's like, she's mine, she's my wife, these are my kids.
Yeah, these are my kids.
Another man sniffing around.
Yeah.
Your family.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'm sure, like, having a new person around your kids would upset anyone, man or woman.
Yeah.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Also, I would like to say that it's not just the men in the Hispanic culture. The women are also equally as crazy.
Oh, yeah. Justine's crazy as fuck.
Crazy as shit.
No comment.
I'm not crazy.
Get out. Liars must leave the room. This is a place of honesty and truth.
Lies.
Okay, so then there was the work crew that Norma worked with at the local Kmart.
RIP Kmart. Is this
no more there's one Kmart left in this whole city.
Shut up.
I saw it a couple months ago. I might be dead by now, but it was like...
I thought you said I might be dead by...
I might be dead by now. It's fine. Okay, anyways. So she had two fellows at work who took an interest in her. A man named Calvin, who had a reputation for having a bad temper. And there was also some rumors going around that he had been involved in a rape.
Mm-hmm.
And those rumors were circling around the Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Could you verify? I couldn't verify.
I didn't know if it was true or not.
Okay, so I couldn't verify, or both of us couldn't verify if this accusation of rape was true or not.
Yeah. We're just throwing it out there.
For you to know.
You can catch it if you want it.
Yes. If not, whatever. So Calvin was a big flirt, and he loved flirting with Norma.
Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, girl, can I get your number?
I was watching...
Can we go on a date?
I was watching Betrayed on IDTV, and they do, like, you know, reenactments, which is so dramatic.
Like, dramatizations?
But, yeah, so, like, the whole time. It was, like, dramatizations based on real-life events. So, the whole entire episode, he's, like, rubbing her back.
Oh,
he's always coming up to her and, like, rubbing her back.
Yeah, stop.
just creepified him the fuck out.
Yeah.
But according to Norma and Calvin, the two were just friends.
Then there was a nam. I'm keeping it in there. Then there was a man named Warren. He had a real big, veiny boner for Norma.
I mean, they're fucking veiny boners.
I like that adjective. It's a good one. Warren was a nice guy, but everyone around Kmart said, like, there was something a little bit weird about this guy.
Yeah.
Norma... You know, she was a nice lady,
mm-hmm.
naturally. So, of course, she was friendly with Warren. But she wasn't into him, like, in that romantic sort of way.
Yeah.
And every time, like, Norm... Or every time, like, Warren would ask her out, she'd be like...
Did you almost call him Norman?
Yeah. That's her ship name.
Norman.
No, every time Warren asked Norma out or whatever, she would, like, politely decline him. Be like, oh, no, like, we're better off as friends.
Yeah. Like, also, she was, like, seeing Daniel, who she was real into. Then she had her friend. Oh, I'm sorry. She had her hoe friend.
Yeah.
No.
Ho, ho, use a ho, ho,
oh,
use
shit.
A ho. Okay. Ludacris.
All right.
I thought that was a pirate shanty.
Like, it just said, Ludacris. Okay, so her friend's name was Beatrice, and Beatrice was married to a man named James, but Beatrice was also banging other dudes.
Oh, yeah.
It was not her husband, nor were their name James. No. We don't, just don't know their names. And they worked at the Kmart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she used Norma's house to fuck this guy. I think there was multiple.
Yeah, I think there were multiple guys. Yeah. There were multiple. Yeah. Multiple guys.
Perfect.
Do work.
So she used Norma's house to fuck the Matt and also used her as a cover.
Yeah, she was like, Norma, can I get...
The key to your house.
To your house. The spare key so I can go and fuck this guy real quick.
Yeah, please. When you and your children are at home.
Yeah.
Okay. But James suspected what was happening and didn't like that Norma was covering for Beatrice.
Mm-mm.
Now, we've all had that fucking friend that can't keep it in their pants and uses you as a cover. We voted our friend like that off the island in March 2015.
Wow.
Bye.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. But that's anywho.
That's like an inside joke between us. So let's not forget Lucy.
Lucy.
Forgetful Lucy.
You got some explaining to do.
No. Eyes are nice and juicy.
Your butt is nice. Your big butt is so juicy. What your lips are so damn juicy.
Your lips are so damn juicy.
About another first day.
Yeah. Where's that from again? What movie?
51st Date.
Yeah. I love that freaking movie. All right. So you're probably asking, who's Lucy? Right?
Who's Lucy?
Well, Lucy is Little League coach Daniel's other girlfriend. That's Daniel's side piece.
Of course.
So he was dating Norma, and on the side, he had Lucy. So, because Daniel, he was afraid of making commitment to Norma and her kids, so his solution was obviously to keep Lucy around. Which I don't really get. Like,
I get it. That's a huge commitment. Like, you're not just committing to Norma, you're committing to two boys.
Yeah, but if you don't want to commit to two boys, don't go out with Norma.
That's true.
Like, just stick with Lucy and that's it.
Men, you don't have to lie to kick it, okay? If you're exactly. just there to fuck, just say that. You don't have to pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
So, basically, men are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And they like sticking their dicks in way too many holes. Your hole. My
hole? His hole. Oh, I hit my mic.
Her hole. Their hole. All the holes. I mean, pick a hole. Pick a damn hole and stick with it already. I'm tired of it.
What's excited about other holes? Is every hole different? I don't know. I never stick my thing in a hole. I don't have a thing to put in a hole.
Scott.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know how to answer that.
So Norma and Lucy, they found out about each other eventually. And of course, they fought. Yeah. They did. Obviously, Norma didn't want to share Daniel with Lucy, and she told Daniel that basically he just needed to fucking decide and pick one of them, and Daniel didn't like being given an ultimatum.
Is this a fucking murder story, or is this a Jerry Springer episode?
Both.
Both. This is a twofer.
A twofer? A twofer one.
All right, so let's count.
She thinks she's so funny.
She made herself laugh so hard. She's laughing so hard, she's not even going to sound.
No entertainment required.
Oh, my God. All right. So we're going to count them, guys. We got Anthony. We got Daniel. We got Lucy. We got James.
Who's Anthony? Oh, Anthony's the husband.
Anthony's the husband. Daniel's a boyfriend. Lucy's the side piece. James, her friend's husband, the Shishunan. And then
the Shishinwa?
The Shishinwa. And then the two Cooper men from work, Warren and Calvin. That's six potential killers.
Hell yeah.
And they all sort of had a reason to want Norma dead. Hmm. I mean, some of them more than others. And then some of them are not really an excuse to want Norma dead. But
okay, real quick. So I can stay ahead, make sure I'm understanding everything that's going on.
Okay.
The ones that found her body were the sons?
The sons, and then the dad and the
Dad's
brother.
So the dad, the one that found him, is also one of the suspects.
Yes,
so
yes. Anthony.
Anthony.
Just making sure I follow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, like, some of these, Warren and Calvin, they don't really have a reason to want her dead. No. But, like...
They're potential suspects.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, May 29th, Norma had a barbecue at her house, and the whole Kmart crew was there. They were making hot dogs. They were making hamburgers.
Hamburguesas.
He's more Mexican than we are.
Dude, I swear, every freaking episode, he's always saying a Spanish word.
And better than we could have done it.
I know.
Whatever.
Calvin was even there flirting with her.
Uh-huh.
And Warren was there. You know, he's left him from afar. He had his little twinkle in his eye. Just
probably drooling.
Probably imagining all the dirty things that he wants to do with Norma. And he made one more attempt to ask Norma on a date. And then Norma was like,
"Hail,
Warren. No. Warren. Listen, Warren. I already told you.
Listen, Warren.
I already told you, no, we're better off as friends."
I think it's Warren.
Okay. Beatrice and her husband, James, were there. You know, Beatrice the cheater. James accused Norma of keeping Beatrice's secrets.
Beatrice's
secrets. And Norma was just like, "Eh." Like, she just shrugged them off, like, whatever, she just continued eating her hot dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was like, "Fuck you, I'm gonna drink my beer and eat my hot dog."
She's probably making eyes at the other Kmart employees. She's like, "Hey, baby.
Yeah.
See you later."
So, you know, it was basically just a normal night for everyone.
So the day after, on Sunday, May 30th, Norma confronted Daniel one last time about picking her or Lucy. She was tired of sharing him, and it was time for him to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Make a choice, Daniel.
Make a chase already, Daniel.
A chase. Okay. And like we said earlier, he did not take the, what's it called?
Ultimatum.
The ultimatum very well. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And he got super angry. They had like a little bit of a fight. A little bit of a tiff.
Yeah.
He wanted his fucking cake, and he wanted to fuck it too.
He wanted to... fuck the cake.
Tell us how you fuck a cake, Brittany.
You take a slice and then you heat it up for 5 to 10 seconds.
Just one slice.
Just one slice.
Any more than that, you're
but it has to be
overdoing it.
It has to be a big enough slice. You can't do a little thin slice because it just doesn't give you the full effect.
Do you eat it afterwards?
You can if you want to.
No, of course, it's the only option.
And then you fuck the cake.
Whatever. You're both sick.
You're all sick.
All right, so after their conversation, Norma was feeling uneasy about the way Daniel had reacted. So after her shift at Kmart later that day, she asked Beatrice to walk her home. Not only because she was feeling unsafe, but also Norma had misplaced her keys.
Yeah, she lost them.
At some point during that day.
Yeah, she
didn't. And Beatrice had a spare, so she could, you know, use Norma's house to fuck boys at.
Yeah, she had a spare.
Yeah. So, seeing as how she used Norma's house as a sleazy motel, she figured she could walk her home and, you know, let Norma into her own home.
It's the least you can do, Beatrice.
It's the least you could do.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
So, a little while after Norma got home, Anthony came to pick up Andrew, like we told you all at the beginning of this episode. But when he got there... he told Norma that he wanted to get back together with her, and Norma was like, hell no.
Yeah.
And Anthony was not happy about it. Like, he wanted his family back, and he was tired of Daniel sniffing around what was his. It was that whole machismo thing, like that property thing, like you were talking about, like that culture. And we know this happened because Norma called her friend Teresa, that we also mentioned earlier, and told her that Anthony was trying to get her back and that she was so tired of him. This was the last time Teresa and Norma spoke because Norma would be murdered later that night. Which brings us back to little 4-year-old Austin and who he saw in that house. Which was...
Okay. Well, before we tell you who we saw, we got to run through everyone's movement that night and their alibis.
They're like, just tell us already!
Everyone's so pissed off this episode.
Yeah, they're so mad.
It was Austin.
It was Austin. It was. You're right. He's the most logical suspect. Okay. So, from the jump, Anthony really wasn't suspected. He completely cooperated with the police and was in total and complete shock when he found his wife's body. Not only that, but his son and his father could alibi him that night, so he was pretty much outed as a suspect.
Yeah.
But just to be on the safe side, they took a spit sample for DNA testing to be done at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then there was Lucy and Daniel. Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember them?
Boyfriend and boyfriend's girlfriend.
Yeah. Lucy admitted to police that she was extremely jealous of Norma, and she didn't really care that she was dead.
Yeah, she was brilliant. Not upset about it.
But she didn't do it, but she didn't do it because she was with a group of friends that night, and that alibi checked out.
Showed it.
As for Daniel, well, Daniel said he was home alone all night long that night, but he swore up and down that he did not kill Norma because he had no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way to prove that was true, so they kind of put him to the side and said, you know, we'll come back to you later.
Then they talked to Beatrice, and she told them that the night that Norma was murdered, she had come clean to James about all of her affairs and told him she was using Norma's house to fuck her dudes at. James had stormed out of the house and told her he was going to go talk to Norma, and he wanted her to explain to him why the fuck she had helped Beatrice cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But when police questioned him, he said hell yeah he was pissed, but then he calmed down and never went to Norma's. Just went out with some friends and
probably to a bar or something.
And probably when he got drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so both James and Lucy provided DNA, a little spit sample, if you will. A little as well. They did a little spit sample-y as well.
Then there was Lovesick Warren. Who came in and completely cooperated with police. And he even took a lie detector test, which he passed with flying colors. Pass that shit.
Huh. And, I was kind of leaning towards Warren a little bit.
And he was like, they asked him, like, do you, like, give us your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even ask him. They're like, oh, give us your DNA or whatever. And he was like, he's compliant. All right. So he gave him a spit sample. And so detectives were on to the next one, which, of course, was Calvin. Again, Calvin, he had a temper, and there was a whole rape story rumor going around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So when police interviewed him, he was acting all, like, cagey and, like, weird. So basically he was, like, I think very, like, standoffish.
Shifty, yeah.
Yeah, shifty.
A little sketch.
And he basically, like, I don't know, he's basically, like, his body language basically told police, like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, the detective was like, you could tell, like, he was super uncomfortable.
Yeah. But Calvin also agreed to take a lie detector test, which he also passed, and then also provided a spit sample.
Lie detector tests are unreliable.
They really are. I feel like anybody, like, if you're trained well, you can, not even if you're trained, like, if you just...
I was listening to a podcast, like, if you clench your butt while you give an answer. No, I like,
seriously?
Somebody was being serious about it. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
Yeah.
They're talking about if you clench your butt, it adjusts your heart rate just so that you can fool it. Got me. But I know damn well if I ever have to take one, I'm going to fucking clench my ass cheeks.
Well, why would you have to lie?
Just to be on the safe side?
I don't know. What if I murder a guy?
I would never, I would never take one. There's so many things, like... Provide us your DNA. Like, even if I didn't do it, hell no. Because what if for some reason my fucking DNA is in that house? Or take a lie detector. Hell no. What if they asked me, did you ever smoke weed in high school? And I was, like, embarrassed about it. And then it made my heart rate jump.
Why would you lie
about
that? Yeah, why would you lie about
that? I don't know. But, I mean, it's, like, little things. What if they're, like, did you ever, I don't know, ask me a question that I didn't want to answer?
Have you ever had sex in the butt? No. And it's like,
Thanks for really going off the charts.
It's broken.
All you say when you're getting interrogated is, I want a lawyer. I want a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, nobody did it.
What?
And also, we forgot to mention earlier that Norma was the first of three mortars. Murders in Port Hueneme in the summer of 93. The victims were all women who had been brutally murdered in their homes. The second murder happened on June 27th to 87-year-old Beatrice Bellis. She was deaf and mute since she was a child. She had gotten scarlet fever and really fucked her shit up.
What year was this?
This was in 93.
Fucking scarlet fever.
Well, when she was a kid.
She was 87 in
93.
When she was a child back in the day, that's when she had scarlet fever.
She was found stabbed to death in her home.
Dude, she'd gotten raped.
Was she raped?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
But it's like, bro, how...
She's 87?
She was 87. It's like, why would you rape...
An old woman. Why would you rape
anyone?
That's
especially twisted, huh?
Yeah, like, why would you rape anyone, but why would you rape an old woman? Like, that's fucked up.
What are my two things? Baby murders.
And old people.
And old people murders.
Me too.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
I hate old people murders. Like, what? Like, she's deaf and mute, bro. She,
yeah. Especially like, someone like that.
Yeah, like, why? Do you ever see the picture of her?
Mm-mm.
She looks so happy, but it's like, why would you do that to her? I don't understand it. It's extremely disgusting.
What was the cause of death for her?
She was stabbed to death.
Yeah.
Stabbed?
In her chest.
Yeah.
Yeesh. This is just some random loony?
Okay, well
we're going to see.
Keep listening. Stick with us.
I
want
to know.
That's what everybody is saying right now. Just fucking tell us.
Okay. Then on August 5th, firefighters found the body of 44-year-old Cynthia Berger. I really want a burger.
Solid last name.
Oh, no.
So they found Cynthia Berger inside her home after responding to a fire at her condo. Initially, they thought that she had died from smoke inhalation, but... All right.
I love to do that when you're in the middle of a deep thought.
Fuck you. But later, an autopsy showed that she had been strangled and raped. I believe she had been in a... The killer... Put her in a bathtub as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she was.
Was Norma raped as well?
No.
No.
Okay.
So maybe it's sounding like a serial killer is on the loose right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And...
It's fucking Warren, dude.
It maybe feels like we just wasted 30 minutes of your life telling you about these six individuals who have nothing to do with anything.
How mad right? would
How
everyone
pissed
be?
Off would you guys be right now?
I would
now?
Be pissed because you set me up for failure. I'm telling you, it's fucking Warren. He clenches butt cheeks throughout that lie detector
oh,
test.
Oh my god, that's your theory. Right.
Yeah.
You're sticking with it. Okay.
All right. Well, we didn't do that.
No, okay, we didn't do that to you guys. We didn't waste your guys' time. Don't worry.
But we brought the shit up because we want you to imagine the hell police go through doing an investigation. Everyone they talk to is lying.
Yep.
And then there's other people being murdered
at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And how the fuck do they figure it out? It must be so exhausting.
Hell yeah, dude.
Like, how do you distinguish one from the other? You know what I mean?
And how do you... It's crazy because your mind is on a path to serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're thinking, oh shit, like...
There's differences
in this whole, you know, in each murder, so...
And there was no serial killer.
No.
Okay, no serial killer. A man named Michael Schultz had been charged... Oh, just kidding. He was charged with the
Murdiosis. The Murdiosis.
You know the sickness?
Jesus Murdiosis. Christ.
Murdiosis is like the Harry Potter spell. Murdiosis.
It's the Avada Kedavra alternative.
All right. Imagine Michael Schultz had...
keeping all this in,
she's
dude.
Got all the this vodka in her system gold. Right now. It's hilarious.
Oh my god. Okay, so Michael Schultz was charged with the murder of Cynthia Berger and was sentenced to death.
And
damn, sentenced to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in 2014, a 28-year-old man named Ricardo Villa, he was convicted of the murder of Beatrice.
87-year-old.
Yeah, 87-year-old Beatrice Bellis?
Bellis.
Bellis?
Also, I'm not saying that death wasn't a proper...
He was, I think when they found him, he was in prison already.
Yeah, he was.
Because you said Port Hueneme. I'm surprised considering how liberal it is.
No, yeah, Michael Schultz, he was
maybe
in
93, maybe it wasn't.
Michael Schultz was in prison when they,
yeah, when they,
convict, when they when found they out that, it was him, yeah.
Oh, he got popped for something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like a jailhouse informant. Was like, he killed that girl. FYI.
All right, guys. So all the spit samples we talked about earlier from our six suspects are important because in 1993, DNA testing, it was not what it is today.
No.
And while DNA was recovered from the duct tape wrapped around Norma's head and from under her fingernails, there was no way to test it back in 93. So for 10 years, 10 whole fucking years, mm-hmm. this case went cold. That is until 2013 when Detective Dennis Fitzgerald reopened Norma's case. He had been working on her case like the whole time, and he knew with the advancements in DNA testing, now was the time to get Norma's killer.
Okay, so I want a side note here.
Go ahead.
Dennis Fitzgerald, okay? I had originally was like, who the fuck cares? Like, we've told you guys many a times, a lot of names get cut because it gets lost in translate. It's too much information.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis Fitzgerald, they're interviewing him, and he was like, I knew when we found her body that she had DNA under her fingernails, mm-hmm. and there was DNA in that duct tape. And I knew that at the time, we didn't have the technology to test it, and I...
How forward-thinking is that, dude, huh?
It's yeah. crazy.
And I was like, that's a fucking amazing detective.
But they took her fingernail samples, and mm-hmm. they fucking stored that shit away, mm-hmm. and they made sure no
when tampered with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't tampered with at all.
Yeah.
They kept that shit.
Yeah. 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 And then 10 years later when...
And the duct tape.
Mm-hmm. When they were starting to test DNA from fingernail, like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. they were able to get better testing from DNA. He was like, all right, this is our time. And it was so... It was sad, but he said, I knew she clawed at him, and I knew she had DNA under her fingernails.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I knew she left that for us.
She was a fight. Like, yeah. you can tell.
She was... What did we say? She was a feisty Latina.
Yep.
She was not going to go down without clawing.
Hell no. So Dennis Fitzgerald, you know, the detective,
mm-hmm.
he sent that DNA that was recovered from her fingernails and the duct tape off to the lab, and boom, that shit came back with a hit.
But first, we're going to go back to the interview with little four-year-old Austin in 1993. After his mother was murdered and he was stuck in the house with her dead body for basically 2 days.
Dude, side note, when the murder did happen,
mm-hmm.
he hid underneath the bed.
Under the bed.
Yeah, when it happened.
I can imagine hearing the struggle in the next room. I mean, obviously he ran out there because he saw who did it.
Oh, yeah.
And then went and hid.
Yeah, but imagine that. Like, for 2 days, like, obviously you had to come out and walk past your... mom's body,
and he didn't know, like, no, he didn't realize.
He probably thought she was sleeping.
Oh, did you which say is he was four?
Was four.
Hmm.
Which is horrible. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so, well, the person he named was, all right, Scotty, this is you. Who do you think it was? After all the information we've provided, all the back and forth, all the who is who do you think did it?
Warren.
It was Warren Mackey.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Yeah, it was Warren Mackey, yeah.
Okay, and before...
You just give me creepy vibes.
Before we all get angry and go, what the fuck? Why wasn't this fool arrested back in 93? Austin said he saw him. Well, that's because Austin was questioned a second time, and the second time he said that he had seen Calvin.
Yeah, I think when I watched... What did I watch? Nightmare Next Door?
Mm-hmm.
The detective said that he named, yeah, a white man and a black man. Yeah. And the white man
is Warren.
White man
is white.
And the black man is Calvin. Yeah.
So, one more time. So, I'll remember.
One more game.
Austin was only 4 years old, and he was sitting with his dead mother's body for almost 2 whole days. So, the impact that had on his...
psyche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we can't imagine what that did. So,
police
were like, okay, we can take... I mean, that's why they originally brought in Warren, because because of Austin said that he had seen him, but they were like, how much can we trust this kid that's been stuck in this house for 2 days with his dead mom, Bobby?
They took Bobby. It's fine. So, like, they took his statement into consideration, but they couldn't really count on it because he said two different people.
Yeah, and then when they went back to him, he was like, oh, no, it was Calvin.
That's understandable to not be able to have to throw that out.
And then also the detective was saying that, you know, they only get one shot at this.
Yeah.
There's only one shot. So do you have to get it right. Rely on the statement of a four-year-old that's got this, you know, this horrible thing that happened to him. So he's not exactly mentally stable at that point.
Yeah.
Because had they relied on his information, they would have arrested Calvin. Because that was the more recent
accusation. Right. He had a history and... But if they had come to court, they would have been like, what's your evidence? Well, Austin said it was Warren, but then he also said it was Calvin. So either man could have got off saying, well, he's fingered two different guys at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
But in 2013, that DNA came back a positive match for Warren. So police dragged his ass back in, but this time to arrest him.
Mm-hmm. And if you're curious.
Curious.
And if you're
curious, George.
And if you're curious as to why Warren so readily gave his DNA back in 1993, that's because he's a big-ass, dumb-ass, stupid idiot.
He didn't know the implications of it at the time, yeah.
No, he thought that since he didn't rape Norma, there would be no way to recover his DNA from her body because...
Which was true at the time.
Yeah.
It was true at the time.
Yes.
That was the only thing they could check at the time, was...
He thought that since he didn't leave semen in her,
at the crime scene, or in Norma, there was no way to
for them to ever trace DNA. His DNA.
Yeah. So he could volunteer all of his DNA all fucking day long, whatever, and he would be totally fine.
Managed to pass a fucking lie detector test, too.
Dude, yeah. Took a risk on that. Yeah, I don't know how.
I mean, they're unreliable, but still, it's a positive percentage of it being true, being correct.
I'm sure he clenches butt cheeks, like you said, Scott.
Oh, my God.
He did the tricks, man.
There's a... the police are interrogating him, and...
I saw that.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? I want a lawyer. I want a lawyer right now, and I want him right now, and because now you're accusing me. You're just accusing me. And that detective, Richard, whatever, was like, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
I am.
Yeah.
It was very matter-of-factly.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can't explain this, and he said, this is getting very serious now. You're accusing me of murdering Norma. And you think I murdered Norma? And I said, I told him, absolutely. It's irrefutable evidence that you were the killer. And he became extremely nervous and asked for an attorney. Didn't want to talk anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is ridiculous. I can't believe. Have we got you after 10 years? No.
Okay, so I believe it was Detective Fitzgerald, Dennis Fitzgerald. That was interviewing Warren.
What up, Dennis?
I think it was. I have to double check that. But, I mean, I love the fact that he was like, yeah, bitch. It was you. You did it. Yeah. And I know it was you. And that's it.
Yeah.
So, get it.
And Warren was like, I want a lawyer.
Give me a lawyer. No, but seriously, if you're ever arrested for if you're guilty or not, ask for a lawyer.
Get a lawyer.
Don't say shit.
Yeah. Don't say anything.
And if they hold you for 8 hours and they threaten you and they hit you, you still ask for a lawyer.
Plead the fifth.
Don't plead no fifth. Ask for a lawyer.
Okay.
What is your name? Give me a lawyer. How old are you? I want a lawyer. But were you there? I want my lawyer. They're supposed to give you a lawyer, and if they don't...
But what if you're like...
That's an automatic mistrial.
Not guilty.
Doesn't matter. It's an automatic mistrial.
No, I said, but what if you're, like, do you really need to tell them I want a lawyer if you're guilty and you didn't do anything?
Yeah, like how you're talking about a murderer who did what he was supposed to do in that situation.
That's a murderer. I'm trying to get you off.
And then PSA.
she's telling the murderers.
PSA, follow Warren's
footsteps.
Tell him you want to
tell lawyer the detectives up. You want a lawyer. Okay.
Give me a goddamn lawyer. Okay, anyways. All right.
So, Justine, why did Warren... kill Norma.
His creepy stalker got denied.
Yes.
Way to go, Scotty.
There you go.
The running theory was because Norma was never going to fuck him.
No,
I'm just saying, if Brittany had denied me, I know what I would have done.
What? Also, you were a stalker. I heard about you.
He was a stalker.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, man.
He found out my work hours and everything.
Match made in
heaven. Side-eye Chloe over here like, what?
Yeah, that's terrifying, but whatever.
10 years later, no murder, don't worry.
All right. Okay, so basically, like we said right now, Norman was never going to fuck him, and he decided that she needed to die for that.
Yeah, it's like, if I can't have you, no one will. Yeah.
So on the 31st, when Norma worked her last shift at the Kmart, he stole her keys, which is why the keys were important.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had lost them.
Yeah.
And he took them from her purse, her locker, I don't know what they have, what system they have working at Kmart.
Yeah, I think he stole them like that day.
Yeah, right? When she was at work.
Yeah.
He knew that she was going to be home alone with Austin, and then he used her keys to unlock her front door.
Yeah, and he knew her routine,
mm-hmm.
so he knew she was going to be sleeping on the couch mm-hmm. that night. Because she would come home after work or whatever, after a party, and she would be watching TV out in the living room, and mm-hmm. she would always fall asleep.
Out on the couch?
Out on the couch, watching Friends or whatever she was watching.
Probably Friends. Friends or, is a great show.
Or her novellas.
Oh, Lord. So we got two running theories on this. When they recovered, because we're going to talk about this real quick. When they recovered her body, I don't know, I've been doing this podcast too long. When they found her and she had the duct tape wrapped around her head, the detectives thought it was to either keep her from seeing who was attacking her, so they wrapped her head immediately so that she couldn't identify her attacker.
Okay.
Or they thought they needed to cover her eyes so that they didn't have to watch her die. They didn't want to look into her eyes as they choked the life out of her. And then you heard something else.
Yeah. So I was watching Nightmare Next Door, mm-hmm. and it kind of makes perfect sense. So what I think happened is that Warren used the keys. Obviously, he used the key or the house key to come in the house. And I think what happened was he started strangling her on the couch, which ensued a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dragged her on the floor, still strangling her, you know, and then straddled her, choked her, killed her. And then I think he brought his own duct tape,
mm-hmm.
wrapped her whole head to make it seem like it was some rando killer on the loose that had come in, broken, and killed her. But I think
that doesn't make sense, though, because a random killer wouldn't come in and duct tape someone's eyes shut.
But it was her whole face.
It wasn't her whole face.
It was her whole face.
When you guys said it in the beginning, you know, I thought it was just the top of the face.
Hmm?
I thought it was just the top of the face.
That's what we've been saying this whole episode.
Yeah, but then you also said, I think it was her whole face.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. I swear to God, that's what you said.
No.
Okay. We'll play that back after.
I swear to God.
She had been strangled, and the top portion of her head, from her eyes up, had been covered in duct tape.
I think her head was wrapped.
Yeah, I think her head was all covered in duct tape.
Yeah, I think it just completely wrapped her whole entire.
Yeah.
Wrapped her whole entire.
Yeah.
Wrapped her whole entire. Yeah.
But anyways, in the Nightmare Before, or the Night Before Christmas. Yes.
It's going to be a long podcast.
Jack Skellington.
The editing on this is going to be rough.
I'm going to cut that out.
So you got 2 weeks to do this.
Anyways, on the Nightmare Next Door, whatever, they said that her whole face was duct tape.
Oh. See, and everything that I read and saw was eyes up.
Yeah, see.
So that's why the running theory was. Also, we're going to talk about this in 2 seconds, but the running theory was that he had covered her eyes because he couldn't look into her eyes as he choked the life out of her.
I can see that, considering he was infatuated with her.
Yeah, he had feelings for her, which would have made sense. But, so we watched two separate IDTV specials. Yes. Bernie watched Nightmare Next Door. I watched Betrayed. I don't know which came first.
The chicken or the egg.
The chicken or the egg.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know which
the
one came first.
The duck or the goose. I don't know. It has nothing to do with anything. But, and I don't know if it was the same detective, because I didn't watch what you watched.
Anymore. I had Tony P.
No, I don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah. I don't remember what my detective was either on mine, but.
And I think.
They both, like, my detective and mine said that.
Hey, is Dennis Fitzgerald the old guy?
Yeah.
And he has the white mustache right here?
Yeah, he's got, like, a little baby
mustache. Little baby mustache right here?
I think so.
He was on there, too.
Was he on there, too?
And he was his and Tony's, I think, story is like
matched up.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, his story is completely different on Betraying.
Yeah.
So Dennis Fitzgerald, props to you for figuring it out, but
yeah, dude,
your story's straight, bruh.
But it's like,
I guess it doesn't matter. He killed her either way.
Yeah, he killed her either way. It doesn't matter. Like, whether her, whether the duct tape was covering the top half of her face or her whole face, still there was duct tape covering her face. And then they also discussed the DNA samples.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to take DNA samples from the duct tape, right?
Uh-huh.
So at first, they took duct tape samples, or DNA samples, I'm sorry, DNA samples from the duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just doing, like, random pieces. And so the match was Warren's.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have been like, oh, he could have, because he was such a close friend to Norma, he could have went to her house earlier to do work or something like that and accidentally left the duct tape around. And then the killer came in and then was like, oh, let's just use this duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not evidence that they could have used in court.
The duct tape.
The duct tape, okay. Yes. So then.
The DNA under her nails.
So then, well, they used the DNA underneath her nails. But then that could have been like, oh, she could have given Warren a massage or brushed.
Oh, dude, my God.
They have to, they have to take in consideration of all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
Warren could easily say, oh, she brushed up against my leg or she brushed up against, she was rubbing my hair or something like that. You know what I mean? So they got to take in consideration of all this shit.
Yeah.
So they tested both ends of the duct tape. And, There was skin cells that were found at the end. So, like, he ripped it with his teeth. And that's what he did.
See, and so, then the one that I watched.
Real quick. And then when they did the interview, they asked him about the duct tape. Like, oh, was there any duct tape around or blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I never saw duct tape at our house. So, it's clear that he brought his own fucking duct tape and wrapped it around her fucking head.
See, and then the one that I watched, they, okay, so the one that I watched had, like, a lot of reenactments that were crazy. Also, I would like to say that on IGTV, the actors are always 100% more attractive than the actual people. Just throwing that out there.
That's true, actually.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But they had, like, this whole scene where Daniel was, he fixed Andrew's basketball court, and he had duct taped it up.
Oh.
Right? So she had her own duct tape in the house. So when they came into the house and they found the duct tape on her, they took the duct tape from the house and then they ran that duct tape to the duct tape that was wrapped on her head, but the tear marks didn't match up.
Didn't match up?
No. So that's why they kind of like ultimately counted out Daniel because they were like, okay, it's not lining up. It's different duct tape or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't include that because I was like, it was like a reenactment. So I was like, I don't know how true that is or what part of the investigation that's part, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard. You know what? It's so hard, like, talking about these cases because the information varies so much. There's so many different stories and we just don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. We weren't there. We're not investigators. You know what I'm saying?
And when detectives were really looking at the case, they really eyed Warren because you're supposed to be good friends with her, so you say, but you never showed up to her funeral.
Yeah.
So, what's that all about?
Yeah. He was like, oh, killer show up to funeral, so I'm not gonna go.
Yeah. But it's like clearly you don't want to see
what you did.
What you fucking did, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to face the truth that you killed an innocent woman because you couldn't fucking have her. You had to kill her.
Dumb. Whatever.
Warren's a fucking idiot.
Why are you guys hand-hugging? It's so weird. Wait a minute, but I want to know, though. Why did you think Warren?
It was just total luck on my part. I was just, because he was the creepy guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going for the easy target.
We try to exclude, like, anything that was going to tip towards Warren. Let's call him Warren.
I was actually doubting my guess because...
When he passed the polygraph?
Yeah. I was like, damn, he fucking passed all that shit with flying colors?
Yeah, dude. So, Warren Mackey, he didn't confess to the murder in the beginning.
No.
But then, right before the fucking trial, right before, he pled guilty.
But why? he wanted to avoid the death penalty, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the only reason why someone. That's the only reason why someone pleads guilty.
Yeah. So Warren Mackey, he was convicted of second degree murder, and he was sentenced to 15 years to life. But, like, he's because he's given life in California. Mm-hmm. Once you're given life, you don't get parole. That's just like a slim.
You can get it.
It's a very slim chance, though, that you're going to get it.
You got to admit guilt, and you got to show remorse.
So he admitted guilt. I mean, he said he pled guilty.
No, but he's
got
to go in front of a parole board, and he has to go, I did this, and I'm sorry that I did this.
Yeah.
And he's never said, I did this. He just said, I accepted this guilty plea because I didn't want life.
Well, yeah, I pled guilty, but
he hasn't shown. Definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I don't think he'll be good enough.
Oh, no. No. Nah. And so he'll just rot in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
See you later, Warren Mackey.
Bye.
See you never, bitch. Puto.
Oh.
I just had to say that.
Okay. All right. Any discussion points?
Mm.
Fuck a Warren Mackey.
I think we discussed everything that we needed to discuss, right?
I think so.
All right, guys. So that was a story of Norma Rodriguez.
Yeah.
There's actually two cases of Norma Rodriguez.
Is there?
Yeah. There's this Norma Rodriguez, and then there's a 15-year-old 15-year-old Norma Rodriguez who was murdered by a basketball player.
Oh, very good.
So,
so we might be doing that one in the future.
Yeah.
Don't get into more details of that.
Yeah.
Digital. You know what? It's fine. I'm drunk.
Yeah, it's fine. So next, you guys know we like to end these podcast episodes on a...
On an upper.
Not a downer. So, Scotty.
Give us our segment.
Where's your segment at, bitch?
Okay, this shit's mad makeshift because they only gave me 15 minutes.
Jesus Christ. Please. Again, insert where we told him 2 weeks ago that he was in charge of segments. Okay, go. Can you explain the rules?
Do you want us to pause?
No.
Explain the rules.
Okay, go ahead.
So, this is going to be simple. It's basically a play on what we did last time, but this is more general.
Oh,
how do you know typical serial killers / crime people?
Okay. What's the rules? You're going to give us some hints, and we got to...
Yeah, I'm going to give you hints. They're going to be... It's basically just first one to guess it. Whoever says it first, I'm going
to
listen.
And then the first one to three serial killers is the winner, right?
Yeah.
Three serial killers?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go first one. Three? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I bet our listeners are going to get this way faster than we're going to
Absolutely.
Yeah, because these are all going to be the big-time ones, too.
Oh, and I hate big-time serial killers.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Justine does not like them. Okay, got it.
Okay. So we know the rules.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Your booming voice.
My booming voice.
Booming voice.
All right, brother, you shut up.
Okay. All right, let's go.
So, first one is a murderer.
Okay. No shit.
Well, great.
Okay. I said that they wouldn't all be murders.
Some it says like on the
cover,
the most notorious serial killers.
Oh, fuck. Okay, we got one more thing to record after this, so we're real screwed. Okay, go.
Okay.
Time Life magazine.
Yes.
Says. Okay.
Time Life magazine says. Uh-huh. Now, this person was known for painting paintings, and they happened to sell for up to $25,000
each. Oh, they were an artiste.
Painting paintings.
Of their victims, or just paintings?
I didn't say.
Oh, you fucked.
They painted.
Okay, give us another hint.
We'll keep going.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Okay.
Another hint.
They typically painted paintings of clowns.
John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah. Boom.
Bam, bitch!
Why did the clowns give it away? I'm going to fail at this. Can we have 1 point for Brittany, please? One point for Brittany.
Ba-ding!
Oh.
B?
J.
BJ. BJ. Okay.
Brittany just did not blowjob, okay? Sickos.
Blowjob. What?
You're doing too much.
Yeah,
your graph is too extreme. Pretty. We don't need a decorative border.
It's a chocolate bar.
Jesus Christ.
Chocolate bar.
It's a caramello.
I want that palette, by the way.
Chocolate bar palette?
Yeah.
I'll settle down. You don't own one. I don't know why you love it. Oh.
Okay.
Next
one. Don't fucking look, cheater.
Oh, my God. Every week I get accused of being cheaters.
Okay.
Cheater, pumpkin eater. Okay.
Second person.
Mm-hmm.
I see you look again.
I'm not.
Okay, second person was...
Hurry up.
Okay, I'll start it light, all right?
I'm mad at you.
First, a hardcore punk band in the 80s was named after this person's vehicle.
Named after the person's vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. I don't have an idea.
I'm just starting light. We'll get progressively easier.
Wait,
named... Or starting vague.
A band was named after the person's vehicle.
Yeah, this criminal's vehicle. Shit. This criminal was a necrophiliac.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Nope.
Ted Bundy?
Nope.
Fuck. That's all I know. I
don't Give me one else. More. One more hit.
This person was raised extremely religious.
Kemper?
Nope.
Gein.
Yep.
What was the band?
I don't know. I just read that a band was named. It didn't actually give the name of the band.
Oh.
Here, I kind of want to look
How
it up
How the fuck did I not know that, Gein?
I feel like we should just do one more and then I'll still be our tiebreaker. Okay. You got one, I got one. Let's okay. see. We're changing the rules.
Changing the rules on the fly and we'll cut the original rules so we don't look bad.
No, it's fine. Just leave them. We'd like to look bad. Yeah. People like laugh. Like people like to laugh at us.
Also, we looked up the band.
And what was it called?
Ed Gein's Car.
Perfect.
I thought it was going to be like...
What song did they sing?
I thought it was going to be like Blue Chevy.
In my blue 57
Chevy. No, it was just Ed Gein's Car.
Very good.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Next. I'm good at it.
Okay, last but not least.
Okay.
We're going to do a hard one. Kay. Or I wouldn't... Maybe harder than the first two, because everybody knows those first two names. Ed Gein, John, and Gacy. So, this person...
This is supposed to be the tiebreaker. Hopefully we get it, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah.
This person is from Russia.
Shit. Oh. He's bald.
Isn't that fucking the lower left-hand corner of the magazine?
No. He's bald. Alex.
No.
Trebek.
No, why? Yeah.
You have to get the name.
Wyatt.
You have to get the name. Shut up.
Stop. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, give us the next hit.
This person killed 52 people.
Oh, fuck me.
Women and children. He ranks 8th on the list of the world's most prolific serial killers.
Dude, he's bald and he has
what
like...
What is this? Okay. What does the letter of his first name start with?
A.
A?
Yes. Andrew Y... Andre. And...
Yeah.
Andre.
Yeah. It's Andre...
Andre Agassi.
Dude.
You'll never get the last name.
No. Last podcast on the left did a story about them.
I don't listen to them.
Okay.
Wait, Andre... What does his last name start with? What letter?
C.
C? Andre...
No, it's not.
Chauncey. Yeah, Chauncey. Andre...
He is bald. You were correct on that.
Andre...
Tchaikovsky.
We're going to say this is a no con... Or not... Not...
Let me see.
It's Ty.
Can I see?
Andre Chikatilo.
That's a motherfucker! I had him in my head!
You win. I'll give that to you.
No, it's fine. Don't
I give it to you. I was just going off of what you said. I have no idea. I honestly had no idea.
I had his name in my head. I mean, I had his face in my head, but I just couldn't...
I feel like if you can envision... Wait, show me a picture of him, because I have no idea who the fuck
he is. Dude, I fucking knew. It's this motherfucker. He's crazy.
And he ain't got no eyebrows.
Yeah, he ain't got no eyebrows.
He killed 52 fucking people.
Women and He's children.
Crazy. Yeah,
Holy
dude.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
I feel like you win that one.
I think last podcast on the left... Last podcast on the left. I know you guys listen to them, whoever's listening to us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't... Sorry, I don't listen.
But yeah, they did a story on them. On a story
on
him.
Check that shit out.
Or do one more forever. Because you weren't able to get that last one. Okay.
I got it. Okay. Pause?
No. I already got it. This one's going to be quick.
Okay. Eileen Wuornos.
No.
I hate you. What if he's like, yes?
That's pretty good, though. That you guess like some common known ones. Okay.
Okay, go on.
This is probably going to give it away right immediately. This is shotgun round.
Okay.
Lightning round. Okay.
Okay.
This... Killer's nickname was the 44 caliber killer. 44 caliber killer.
I don't know if he's Mr. O killers at all. John Wayne Gacy. Oh, I already said him.
Wow.
Just John Wayne.
The 44 caliber killer?
Yes.
No, we don't know. Give us one more.
I know our listeners are yelling at us.
They're
like,
so mad right now.
They're so angry.
Are you fucking kidding me,
you bitches?
True crime nuts are
you
these?
You didn't get Andre Chikatilo.
Bro, I had his face.
Give us another hand. Okay. I don't know the one.
44 caliber.
He was named the 44 caliber. This is not the hand, but he was named the 44 caliber killer because he would just walk up to random people and shoot them.
Okay.
With 44 caliber. This person blamed his neighbor's dog.
Motherfucker.
For
being possessed by the devil, right? Being
possessed by the devil.
Motherfucker, you talked about him.
I did?
Yes.
His the neighbor's dog.
He was possessed by the devil.
And told him to kill these people.
Well, go get therapy if that shit's happening.
Dude, oh my God.
Ramirez.
No.
This is my favorite serial killer.
Oh, fuck me. I don't know.
The one that did the law. The law where you can't write your stories down and sell them.
Oh, Son of Sam.
Yeah. Son of Sam.
Son of Sam.
Just remember,
I think you knew. I thought you said that in the other episode before.
I don't know if I can remember. I'm drunk right now.
That's correct, right? He blamed it on his neighbor's dog? That's what I remember.
He said his dog went...
The dog told him to
ballistic
do it.
And the dog was the devil and told him
whatever.
To do it.
Whatever. Fuck that guy. Yeah. All right. So we're sorry, you guys, that we failed you in life.
And couldn't guess the fucking Son of Sam.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. That was our story. I know you guys were yelling at us, and we're sorry. Okay, on to reviews, right?
On to reviews.
So, okay.
All right, I'm going to read a foreign.
Justine's going to do the foreign reviews.
I'm going to read one foreign. You read one reg.
Okay.
I mean, one locale.
Yes.
I'll read one foreign.
Go for it. Just go for it.
And then that's all the foreigns we got.
You need to touch up your red lipstick, girl.
Do I look like I've been
sucking dick all sucking that night? Dick?
Okay. Well, I haven't. Just a straw with vodka in it. It's fine. Okay. Ready?
Isma.
So this one is entitled, Yeah. Just kidding. Just says yeah.
Oh, damn.
And it is by Heather Liu, 27.
Heather
from
Liu.
The UK.
Oh. Did she put XX at the end? Bitch, I tell you.
All right. Okay, I started listening. Oh, this is a 5-star, by the way. Woo! I almost had a burp. Okay. I started listening before Christmas, and I've binged all the episodes. Really interesting to hear about cases you don't normally hear in other podcasts. Love the interaction between the girls, and now the added voice of Scott.
Aww.
Great work. Love it. Oh, sorry. Love, love, love it.
Love it.
Triple X.
I would give you a hand clap, but I got...
Thanks for the shout out, dude.
I got vodka in one of my hands. And
fucking
my phone
boner alert over there. Thank you, Heather. Alert. Heather Lou 27. Okay, go ahead.
Next, we have in the States, Red to Portland.
Yeah.
Reed to Portland. Okay. Reed or Red to Portland. That's the name.
It's hard for us. We're drunk.
5-star titled Obsessed! Exclamation point.
Obsessed.
I freaking love these two. They're hilarious, witty, and smart. Everything I hope for in a podcast. They're a joy to listen to, but you have to be careful about location because you can't laugh until you snort just anywhere. Keep it up. From Megan. Can We Cult Podcast.
Oh, Can We Cult Podcast.
Yeah, go listen to Can We Cult Podcast, please.
Go rate, review, subscribe.
Yes.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Wait, thank you, Megan.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. If we didn't say that already, sorry.
Sorry, we're drunk.
Sorry, Jolly. We're drunk.
Super drunk. Okay, anyways. All right. So, next up, we have Love This Podcast.
Don't tell your mother.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, we have Love This Podcast from Miss Sarah Laurel. Laurel? Sorry, Miss Sarah, if I messed up.
Sarah!
From Canada. From Canada.
Canada.
This podcast is so great. The host... Brittany and Justine are hilarious, even before the edits got into the mix.
Oh, shit.
But,
two for two, baby.
But he's funny as hell, too.
Oh, no.
Yet in spite of that, they actually delve into grotesque details and the hard facts of horrific true crime cases. If you're a fan of true crime and laughing hysterically, do yourself a favor and listen to this podcast. Brittany and Justine are the best friends you wish you had. Oh, that makes me so happy.
I love that. Dude, my favorite.
That was super nice.
I know. My favorite reviews are when people are like, oh, they're like our friends. Yeah, like, they're like my friends.
We actually feel like we're your friends.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so next one is by Trending Danny.
Hey, Trending Danny.
5-star titled True Crime Talk with Personality.
Hey.
Says, I got recommended this podcast from another show. We got 5.
Hey, Peter and Devin.
Hi. And to listen to episode 11 about Selena. Great info and funny. I kept listening and they cover crimes in the Latinx community.
Communication is key.
I definitely suggest to listen. Sorry. I'm drunk.
Okay.
Good thing. We've never had to do three in a row.
We've never had to be live.
Do you want to do it again? No. I can do it again.
Yeah,
I
do it again?
Do you want to do it
no,
again?
No, it's me.
I can do it again if you want. I can do it again if you want.
Okay, I have no four.
Y'all hella dumb.
You have
no more four oh, ones. Okay, I'm going to do this one. Okay, ready?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. This is my favorite, by the way.
Scared me with that laugh.
She scared me too.
Okay. I put my hands up. I was ready to swing.
This is my favorite one. You ready?
Swing out what? The air?
No, Justine.
She's so far across the room.
Oh, God damn, we're her best. Okay, ready?
Okay, go.
This is my favorite one thus far in all of my life. Okay, ready? Yeah. It's entitled At First. At first.
I love this one. Okay, go ahead.
At first, I absolutely hated these two. My God, I wanted to reach through my phone and just smack them.
Smack them.
But now.
Me too.
I can't live without them.
That's that shit I love.
Yeah, it's like a party in your headphones every week. I love the fact the crimes are lesser known. Keep up the good work, ladies. And Scott.
Dude. Killing the game today.
Does it just give you a boner that people are acknowledging you now?
That's that shit I like. Mm-hmm. Honesty, we love.
Yeah.
Like, we understand people don't like us.
We understand people hate us.
Our beginning episodes, we admit.
They were terrible.
They're not great.
No.
But we try to learn from them. We get better.
I feel like we finally hit our groove. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We're finally... Well, not this episode. This one's a mess. Sorry, everyone.
Okay.
It's a garbage fire.
So, we're really drunk in this one, so sorry. Okay, so next one we have by April Baby 744. Five stars, titled At First.
I just read that, so don't do that again.
Why did you... Oh, now you're going on to ours?
I just told you that.
I'm drunk. I don't remember.
Sorry. You gotta do the one below it.
Sorry. Okay, yes. I got it.
Okay.
I don't know which one this is. Got. Okay, so ready?
Uh-huh.
Next one is by... I love this title. Or this name. Ratchet Sally 2.0. Beautiful. Five stars rated. Yes. She says, oh, dang. Love it. I love this podcast. I love the wit and the banter. I love hearing POC crimes that I had no clue about. I love the games they play. My favorite is Stranger Danger. And remember, folks, there's a lot of desert out there, is what I tell my friends who don't listen to the podcast.
Yes. Get it, Ratchet Sally. You threaten your friends.
Yeah, hell
that
yeah.
That makes us happy.
I tell Justine that every single day
of our life.
Yeah.
Ratchet Sally is a fantastic name.
Isn't that great? I love that name.
All right, guys. And on that note, we have reached the end of this episode. And I want to hear what you have to say to me about a lot of desert.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Justine?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of desert out there.
To that, I would just like to let you know that you're boring as hell.
You're unfunny as hell.
And, that's it. I can't remember what
else. Riveting.
You just ruined our thing.
You know what? Let's just say it to Scott. Scott, there's a lot of desert out there. You don't get your shit together. You don't plan better segments.
Better segments, bitch.
We're gonna put you in the fucking desert.
We fucking told you. Plan your segments out and you don't do it.
Ooh, tell him.
Come on.
Ooh, got him. Okay, next segment is going to be better because I'll have a week's time to think about it.
There's Justine, a lot of
you're actually
bitch,
gonna have,
okay. There's a lot of desert out there, Scott.
Ooh, okay. Surprise attack.
I'm telling you right now, bitch.
What's the answer?
What are you going to say about that?
All I'm saying is if I end up dead, 100% is Brittany.
And 100% Justine helped her.
Hey!
Air five! All right, guys, we're going to catch you next week
with a whole new episode.
53.
Yeah. So we love you guys.
And it's also going to be about... Bye.
Bye.
Want to say bye?
Bye.